We started a series last week, and again, Christmas is no longer right around the corner. Christmas is here. And more than the shops, more than the sales, more than the commercialization of Christmas, the reality of Christmas, there was a billboard that was put in New York Times just this past week that said, "Do we need Christ in Christmas?" And it said, "No." It was put up by the atheist organization. But the reality is, you can't take Christ out of Christmas. It's about the birth of Jesus, the plan of God before we understood the plan of God, who sent his son to die on the cross to take the sins of humanity upon himself so that we as individuals could accept him, be forgiven of our sins, escape hell and go to heaven. Because good people do not go to heaven, only forgiven people go to heaven. And we need a savior because we were born in sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so Christmas is about the birth of Christ, the virgin birth. It's a miracle. It's the goodness of God. It's good news. It's hope. The Bible tells us that without Christ, we are without hope. There are people that you will run into on a regular basis, and they might put on the smile. They might act and fake it till they make it. But the reality, if they don't know Christ, they are without. They might even be aware of Christ, but without Jesus, they are without hope. Which makes sense why so many of them struggle and strive to fill their lives up with stuff. And God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. It's a priority and placement of things. Because when we look at things as that's what's going to make me happy, we've just made ourselves into a whole nother dynamic that doesn't work. Because as fast as something can make you happy, it wears off and then you have to get the next fix. You can see why society gets so caught with drugs and alcohol, because if their life was so happy, and we see the rich and the famous and the reality TV programs and the Kardashians and the list goes on and on, and say, "Oh, if I could only have their money." If it was so great, why do they go through all the hangups and the headaches? Why do they get caught up in drugs and alcohol? If it was so great, you wouldn't want to numb yourself from one good moment. Because every time you numb yourself, you'd miss out on something amazing. But the world tells us that they have it. I remember years ago, beer commercials, and you see people sitting around a fire, and they're laughing, and it says, it doesn't get any better than this. And the truth is, it does get much better. The world has learned to sell what we have, and we've let it go by, not realizing it, and we don't tell anybody. We're the ones that should have the life that it doesn't get any better than this. Yes. And they sell it because they're trying to make money. We keep it quiet because we're afraid someone might laugh at us. Jesus came. Hope is here for you and for me. Regardless of the hopelessness of a situation, regardless of the intensity of a problem, regardless of your past, the love of God is shed abroad. The love of God changes. The love of God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that you can be forgiven. Hope is here. Can God forgive me? Yes. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. Just not good people, perfect people, or those without mistakes, hang-ups, or habits. God loves each and every one of us. That's a reality. And it's an amazing thing when we begin to experience God's love and accept Jesus in our heart. And we see people get healed on a regular basis, but I keep coming back to this reality to keep it fresh in all of our minds, that one of the greatest miracles is seeing someone become born again. One of the greatest miracles is not seeing someone join a church. One of the greatest miracles is not seeing someone try to become better. One of the greatest miracles is not trying to see someone act religious. That happens a lot in the church world. One of the greatest miracles is a heart conversion, where someone comes out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Sins forgiven. Behold, they are a brand new person. That's only done by the power of God. And if we strip the power of God out of the house of God, we find people coming to the house that are nothing more than conformers to a good idea, hoping they could be a little better. And praise God that you can strive to become better. But becoming better will never meet what you need to have. It's coming to Jesus and accepting him, and all things become new because of what God did by sending his son. Hope is here. Thank you for that amen. We can be in the church so long that we forget the reality, the importance of what we came out of. We can begin to think that we're the ones that architected, we're the ones that created the change and brought ourselves to the place. But the reality, without Jesus, your life would be all jacked up. Hope is here. Salvation. And our challenge is that we need to not only receive him, but also let that love of God that's been shown to us stretch us to share him to other people. We talked last week that the love of God stretches us to share to those around the world with the idea of missions. I'm here to tell you today that the love of God wants to stretch us to share his light, his love, his hope to those we run into in the rhythm of our lives. Do you know, we can get so caught up in life that we don't see other people's lives. One of the things I learned from my dad, or picked up, is that he used to love watching people. If you ever go to an airport, to a game, maybe, if you had a chance to go to a Mizzou game and see him get beat by Auburn yesterday, that could be something to look at instead of watching the scoreboard. But anyway, but the reality is, if you ever sit and there's a lot of people walking by, if you just sit and look at them, because in their life, there's such complexities. Every person walking by has their hopes, their dreams, their fears, their relationships, their friendships, their failures, their victories, all this stuff intertwining, so complex in every person walking by. And if we're not careful, all we see is our life. Me and my four, no more. And everything God is doing, and everything we pray for, and everything we're believing for. And God wants you to be healed. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be blessed. But if all our prayers stop with just me and my four no more, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Because Jesus has compelled us. He said, not only am I the light to the world, he said, you're the light. If you have your Bibles, we're going to talk today about this rhythm of allowing God to share and to shine through us, so that other people can know that there's hope. Because without him, there is no hope. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to read out the Message translation. It says, now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Notice this again. Now that I put you on a hilltop, now that I put you in a place of life, that people can see your life. So I believe that God wants you to be successful because it brings you to a place of visibility. People watch you. And I want you to know wherever you're at in the rhythm of life, people are watching you. It's amazing how children grow up and we don't think they're watching, but they're watching. People are watching. You might not realize it. And you can say what you want to say, but they will remember what you do. That's what shouts out more than anything. Not what you tell or say, but what you do. He said, now that I put you in a place on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. King James talks about to shine like a light. I like to say it this way. God will make your life a billboard on the highway of life. He wants people to recognize and see what he's doing in your life. Why? So it doesn't stay with your life. So that he can flow not only in your life, but flow through your life to other people. And we can say, oh yeah, Pastor, I've heard that. But the question is, are we doing it? And how are we doing it? And what does that look like? Does that mean you have to go to a corner on a busy street and take a bullhorn and begin to preach? Does that mean you got to hand out tracts? Does that mean you have to start preaching? What does that mean for you and I? Because if we don't understand, we can't do what we don't understand to do. And if we're not doing it, we can't experience what God wants us to experience. Notice that you be generous with your life. First of all, I want to thank everybody again for your generosity in the Philippine trip. This is a generous church. Your generosity is not only reaching people in the Philippines, we're reaching, as you see in the bulletin in the front, we're reaching orphans in Burundi. We're reaching families. Over 60 families in our community and church received full Thanksgiving dinners this past Thanksgiving. One lady came to the portico and said, Pastor, I want you to know I received one of the complete Thanksgiving dinners, just not a turkey, but the whole shebang. And she said, without this, I'd have nothing. I want to thank you. We have the Tree of Hope. We're going to be handing out presents to needy children in the church and community. People that some come to church, some don't. And we're not requiring them. You got to sit in a church to get a gift. No, because I'm not attaching strings. I want them to know that the love of God is free. You say, well, then they won't hear the gospel. Listen, they'll experience the gospel by us meeting their needs where they're at and loving them with no strings attached. And that will make a bigger difference than hearing someone preach. We have that going on. We have a complete Christmas dinner. Some of you are going to be participating in that and feeding families this Christmas. A lot of things are going on, and I want to thank you for your generosity. But I want to expand this a little, because when you talk about generosity, a lot of people think of another offering. That's not what we're talking about today. I want to talk about, are we generous with our lives? Because you can give, and some people give in replacement of their lives being generous. God wants us to live in a rhythm of generosity, and it's just not about money. It's about an attitude that flows from us to help people, to touch lives of people. People that you know, people that you don't know. Being open for God to use us in the rhythm of our life. Let me read another verse. Matthew 5:48 says, live out your God-created identity. Live generously, notice this, and graciously. God wants us to live generously and graciously. We know the visual of, if someone's generous, it's an open hand. If someone's stingy, it's a tight fist. Where are you on the inside of your heart when it comes to others? Where are you on the inside of your heart when it comes to others? Do we live our lives where it's open, or do we live our lives where stand away, get back? I don't know you. It's me and my four. That's who I'm thinking about. God says, I want to use your life, what I'm doing in you, to flow through you. I want you to live graciously and generously toward others, the way God lives towards you. And that doesn't always mean, and there's a balance here. Listen to my heart. Every truth has a balance. Extremes will hurt. Extremes cause us to hit the ditches of life and we get stuck. Being generous in our life, being gracious in our life, does not mean that it's acceptable for us to be a victim in life. It also does not mean that God wants us to be manipulated in life. Because we've all had people try to manipulate and use the Bible against us. Aren't you a Christian? You're supposed to love everybody. You need to be paying my bills. Right? I mean, the devil uses scripture against Jesus. So just because they can quote a scripture, doesn't the Bible say you're supposed to walk in love and you're supposed to help the hurting and the poor? And some of you have been paying people's bills for months because you've lived under, some for years, because you've lived under a condemnation cloud that if you don't, God would be mad at you. And people will use that against you. Well, Pastor, aren't we supposed to help people? Yes. Who do we help? That's a good question. Can you help everybody? No. And you're not called to be someone's Jesus. Who are you supposed to help? We teach around here, that's why you need to find the mind of God, because just because someone asks doesn't mean that you're called to help them. It's okay to say no. Did you hear me? I had a person years ago call me, many, many years ago, called me on the phone, was asking me, just give me a long story. There's always a long story to it, and they're asking for money. We didn't know them. They weren't a member, and we help out people that we don't even know on a regular basis, so it's not that. But in that particular time, and I typically, my rhythm, you find your own rhythm. My rhythm is I look for the mind of God. I look for the confirmation, inward witness of the Holy Spirit, what I should do. And when he was talking, I listened, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm looking for direction. And I felt like, no, don't help. And I said, well, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, we won't be able to help you at this time. He didn't cry. He didn't sob. He didn't say thank you. He literally, in a millisecond time, went into a rage and started dropping the F-bomb and calling me every name he could think of. I just hung up. But at first, I mean, you think, wow, but at that phase of my life in spiritual development, it helped me to reconfirm to me that I had heard from God. Did you hear me? Because he showed his true colors. See, if you look at somebody and you check and you're just like, and again, you're never going to get it right all the time, but if you check and you feel like, no, you know, I paid your bills, you know what I mean, before. I'm not going to be able to do it this time. If they go into rage or manipulation, or all of a sudden they just show their true colors. I'm helping somebody out here. And all of a sudden, that should free you that you made the right decision. And we jokingly say that if someone starts putting the pressure on you, oh, you should give. This is, you know what I mean? And they start putting the pressure, just stop. I mean, because it's amazing to me that people that don't go to church, don't love God, don't serve God, don't read the Bible, are the ones that are trying to tell those who do what God is telling them to do. You should do that. Well, hang on a minute. You should get saved. But don't be judging me. Well, you're judging me. But, you know, and they come and say, "Don't you should pay my bills." And they hand out some bills and say, "Do you know what I mean? Why aren't you a Christian?" Just stand there and say, "Just a minute. Let me find out." Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "No." How would they know? They don't even pray. They say, wait a minute. Jesus said, "You need to get a job. Hang on, wait." He was doing what the other night? If you open your eyes, they're still there. I'm surprised. They'll be bold. They will leave you alone. They'll be running for the exit. Why? Because this is not a message or a thought that we apply, that we become vulnerable. You know, when you're open to everybody, you can be vulnerable. This is not being open to everybody. It's being open to God to use you to reach somebody. It's a big difference. Because if you're just open to everybody, you'll have a whole line of people asking because they figure out you're a soft touch and give you a sad story, and all of a sudden you're gonna give. And there's nothing wrong with giving, hear me. But there is something wrong with you being manipulated to give or to do. So you're gonna look at someone, and so there's a balance here. God wants us to live graciously and generously, open to him so that we can be open to others. We look to him to show us who to reach, because you can't reach everybody. You can't be their Jesus. You can't change their mind. You can't explain it. You'll try it, and guess what? They'll get angry. You can't make people have a certain mindset. The best thing to do is love them and then just move on. But God still wants us to live our lives open, gracious, and generous to the people. And there's a challenge in life that we have all been involved in. It's called storms. Do you know you can build your, you can live your life perfectly in alignment with Scripture and still deal with problems? Jesus said, "A person who hears my sayings and does them is as a man who builds his house upon the rock. And when the storms come," he didn't say if, he said when. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. What is it telling us? That you're going to have to deal with some stuff in life. And how you handle that can make a big difference if you close up or you stay open. If you close up because you're going through a storm. Have you ever watched people on TV that maybe have a house and it could be on a beach and all of a sudden a big hurricane's coming? What do? The natural tendency is you board everything up. They close up. That's a way to protect yourself. And our defensive mechanism to protect ourselves is to close ourselves up from everybody else. But if you stay closed, you can't be open for God to use you to reach somebody. And so we can see people walk by us every day, and we think they're happy, they're smiling, but we don't know what's going on in their life. They might be at a point of contemplating suicide, and God wants to bring them across your path to reach out. They might just need an encouraging word. They might need to hear the gospel. They might need somebody just to listen to them and say it's going to be okay. They might need somebody to invite them to church so they can hear the gospel. They might need somebody to pray. You don't know. The options are a million to one, and you don't know who, but God knows. And we learn to trust him and allow him to say, okay, God, it's just not a Sunday thing or church thing. I make myself available for you to use me. Jesus told the whole story after he did the teaching and talking about love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And someone asked, who's my neighbor? And he said, let me tell you a story. And went down this whole illustration about a man who was beat up and robbed and left to die. And everybody that should didn't help him. But one man saw the need and reached out and helped. And he asked him, which one was being the neighbor? He said, the man who showed mercy. And Jesus said, you're exactly right. Now you do the same. It doesn't mean that it's perfect in our world, because you can look at me and say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. And the holidays are a type that within themselves, they have two extremes. They can be some of the most fun, exciting times or some of the saddest times. For some, they're like, man, I would love for Christmas to stay forever. And some are saying, I wish Christmas would get over already. We don't know what people are going through, but God knows. And he can use us to share his hope to people that you know and people you don't know. It's not a matter of you randomly picking. It's being open for God to use you to make a difference. If it's all about me and my four no more, then what you do is you close up. And when you close up, you stop being used by God. And when you stop being used by God, you stop people from being touched and you stop the blessing. You will so live way below what God has for you. Because what you sow, what you do in the lives of other people, God will bring it back into your life. Romans 12:1. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Don't think, okay, ministry. Don't think I'm not a pastor. Don't think I'm not a preacher. Don't think a Sunday thing. Take the ordinary routine rhythm of your life and wake up in the morning and say, okay, God, here I am. If you want to use me today, it doesn't mean that God will use you that day to help somebody, but it's the attitude of saying, God, I am open for you to use me, but I don't have a Bible education. It don't matter. I just got saved. It don't matter. God can use each and every one of us. God, here I am. I might not think I'm qualified. I might not think I'm ready. It might even scare me to have the idea, but Lord, I'm putting it out there as an offering. If you can use me to help somebody, here I am available. Here I am available. Here I am available. And when we make ourselves available, God can use us. And too many times we look and say, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. And I want you to know that if you're waiting for your life to be incredible before you reach out, you'll never reach out. If you have the attitude of God, make everybody love me, then I'm going to start loving, you'll never love anybody. God, pay all my bills and let me buy every toy I want. And when I have more than I can even spend, then I'll start giving. You'll never give. Lord, let everything work to my favor, and then everybody help me, and then I'll find somebody to help. You'll never help anyone. Because the reality is, the only time you're ever going to see where it's problem-free is when you get to heaven. And if you're waiting for it to become perfect before you start, it will never be perfect, and you'll never start, because the key kingdom principle that God's trying to get to our attention is you must start before you receive. If you want to receive love, start giving some love. If you want to receive mercy, start giving some mercy. If you want to harvest, start planting some seed. If you want God to bless you, start investing financially in the kingdom of God. It begins by faith before you ever experience it in reality. Too many times you say, God, you make everything work out and then I'll start. You'll never start. You say, but I'm hurting. Find somebody else who else is hurting and start reaching out. Whenever I start feeling that my problems are big or things are getting overwhelmed, I go find somebody with a greater problem. And you don't have to go far. Go to a children's hospital. And walk the hallways of the cancer ward. Walk the hallways of a burn ward. And you'll walk out saying, OMG, God, I'm so sorry for thinking that my storm was the biggest storm in the world. God can use you right where you're at. Even when the devil's trying to mess you up with the storm, I'm telling you, in the midst of it, God can still use you to help somebody. And on my way to church this morning, this came to my heart, and I know it's for somebody that you might be going through a storm, but I'm here to tell you that the storm you're facing, it may seem overwhelming, but it has a beginning, and it also has an end. It has a boundary. It is a season that will not last forever. But there's something you have on your side that will last forever, that does not have a beginning, that does not have an end, that is not limited by boundaries, and that's God himself. For greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And there's no one before or after him. He is the all-inclusive. He never had a past beginning. You cannot go back in time and say that's where he started. For he's the great I am, never the great I was or will be. He's all powerful, without boundaries. There is nothing impossible to your God. He knows all things. He cannot be measured. We forget sometimes of who is in us. when we only focus on what's around us. We need to let the greater one rise up, because everything created was created by him and for him. Without, he is everything. And we need to hang on to the everything to help us get through the storms and troubles and challenges that try to close us up. So what do? Be open to see around you by starting saying, God, I need your help. Lord, the challenges, and I'm going to be real. I am not dismissing or devaluing any challenge. But if we're not careful, that's all we see is the challenge. And say, God, help me see more than just this problem. Help me to look up and see you. Just like the prophet and the servant. The servant says, the soldiers are surrounding us. We're in trouble. And the prophet said, no, there's more for us than against us. And he said, he probably thought to himself, oh, my boss has gone crazy now. Have you ever had a moment thought your boss just went crazy? That was the craziest comment, craziest decision. And all of a sudden, the boss made a prayer. And the prophet of God said, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And when he prayed that, all of a sudden, his eyes were open. And he could see that the armies of the living God were so outnumbering the armies of the enemy that were against them. And all of a sudden, what God was saying to the prophet was more real than what he saw in the natural. When you begin to be open, all of a sudden, God can give you a, it said not by your own ability, but God's ability. God can give you a paradigm shift, a perspective change, an outlook difference, where all of a sudden you just don't see the problem. You look up and begin to see what God said is more real to you than what you felt 5 minutes ago. That you are the head and not the tail. That you are above always and never to be beneath. Psalms 1, that everything you put your hands to will be successful. That you are more than a conqueror through him that loves you. Not just seeing, I'm not denying the storm, but I'm saying look up in something greater. And when you say, God, I need your help, even in the midst of what I'm going through, I make myself available to be used by you. I'm telling you, when you have that attitude, God will not only use you, but it will shorten the storm. It will change things because you refuse. Because when you're closed down from everything around you, there's a natural tendency to close down from receiving from God. It doesn't mean being manipulated by people, but walking through the rhythm of life and saying, God, here I am. I'm available. Use me for somebody. And it might not be spectacular. It's like the story of a reporter looking outside the window of his hotel on a beach after a big storm, and there were starfish that were stranded on the beach from the storm, and he saw a little kid picking up a starfish and taking it and throwing it in the water to save it. And after a while, he watched him 15, 20 minutes, and he thought, oh, I got to help this little boy out because there's no way he's going to get all these starfish. So he went out there and said, young man, good morning, what are you doing? He goes, I'm saving starfish, was the little 8-year-old's response. And he goes, but son, don't you see all these starfish? Do you think you're going to make that big of a difference? To which the little boy picking up a starfish said, the world of difference to this one. You can't reach everybody, but God's called you to reach somebody. It might not seem spectacular, but Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to a thirsty child, he sees it. It makes a difference. And you'll never know the impact that your obedience to God and to reach out can make a difference. Like the usher one day, many years ago, in a tent meeting that was jam-packed, and all of a sudden, two little boys come in, and they can't even get in, and the usher gives up his seat, stands up and says, come on, boys, in the back, you can sit here. And he gave up a seat to two little boys. And at the end of the service, at the revival meeting, the minister, the revivalist, did a prayer altar call, and these two little boys came to the altar to get saved, and people can applaud. Oh, isn't that sweet? Those two little boys got saved. Ooh, we love ministering to children. And be flipping and walk away, not knowing that one of those children was the future Billy Graham, who was to see tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people come to the Lord. One little kind gesture of graciously giving up a seat to a little boy who heard the gospel, who got saved, who went into ministry and preached to millions. Yeah. You never see the impact of what God can do. It's like a seed. It's an ample seed. But you don't know how many trees are connected to that seed, because that seed could be a tree that produces a lot of apples, which produces a lot more seeds. What am I telling you? That seed has more potential in it than you'll ever be able to count or see in a lifetime. And your act of graciousness, your act of kindness, your act of mercy and love to somebody maybe you don't even know, maybe forgotten by you, but to God he sees it, and connected to that act of obedience is a result that will outlive you and cannot be counted by humans. We look and say, it doesn't seem like a big deal. It's a big deal to the one who received it. It might be a gift to a child that would have nothing at Christmas. It might be a prayer to someone who doesn't know who to turn to. It might be a listening ear to someone who feels abandoned, alone. It might be a kind word that encourages somebody to not give up, to let the love of God, the hope of God, be used in any and all of our lives, any day, because we simply say, God, here I am. I take my ordinary, everyday. Some of us get ourselves so caught up in, and I'm this, one of my challenges is that I get so caught up trying to get things done. I love accomplishing. I love getting things done, that I can get so caught up in getting things done that I'm in my box and I don't see anything or anyone. And I miss out on the things. And sometimes my wife will be talking to me. I'm in my zone. She'll say, honey, and I'll say, I'm sorry, I'm not in your box. And I'll have to, come on, you women are great at this. Guys, it takes us time to get out of our box, does it not? And say, okay, let me hang on. Let me get into that box. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, and it'll be a conversation that happened a week ago. I don't know how you ladies do that. Your wire is so different. And yet us guys were like, you know what? Help me. Don't I? I just tell her, you know, baby, you got to understand the way I'm wired. Just tell me. You know what I mean? Almost have to treat us like dogs sometimes. Just praise us when we do good and tell us what we need to do. And we'll keep it real simple and we're glad to make that work. You know what I mean? We don't get it all the time. And all the men said, amen. Oh, come on, you're being weak. We'll say, oh, and all the ladies said, amen. We can get so caught up in our stuff. And you know what I found? Sometimes the things that I have made so important, well, I have to get this done. I just have to get this accomplished. I just have to get that TV at Target for $49.95. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we make things such huge priorities that really in themselves aren't that major of a deal. If we didn't get them or didn't accomplish them, we have to sit back sometimes and do a little priority check and say, wait a minute, are these things that important? If they cost you from being open from God. And that's the prayer I pray. Lord, help me to see these God moments. Because some of the greatest God moments don't happen in an organized, structured worship setting. Some of the greatest God moments, some of the coolest miracles of Jesus was on his journeys, not when he was just teaching and preaching. Some of your greatest God moments that God will use you is not when you're in a teaching a Bible class or just coming to church. It'll be in the rhythm of your ordinary life when you say, Lord, I'm giving it to you today as an offering. I don't know who. I would love to be able to say, okay, now tomorrow at about 6:15 in the evening, someone's going to come to you. And over here while you're driving to work, you're going to get a phone call. And over here Thursday at 11 a.m., be aware because you're going to have your opportunity to really help somebody that's hurting. I can't. I don't know. Do you know what? You don't know. But I'll tell you what, God does know. And if we're willing to lay our lives down and say, God, here's my life. I got my agenda, I got my things to do. But Lord, I'm giving you this day as an offering, which means if you want to tap me on the shoulder and have me speak to somebody, invite somebody, pray with somebody, listen to somebody, I ask you to create the moment and just remind me. And I'll do it. And you'll be surprised how God will use you with all the things the devil uses to disqualify you and say you can't, he won't. He can and he will if you make yourself available. Amen? Amen? And when you do, you're letting people that are hopeless know that hope is here. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that.